Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Continuing with the author Timothy Ryback. His book is Takeover, Hitler's Final Rise to Power. Tim is the co-founder and director of the Institute for Historical Justice and Reconciliation in The Hague. He speaks to me from Berlin. Hitler has been defeated on November 6th. The German people have turned their backs on him. Compared to the gains of July 31st, when he had 37% of the Reichstag, he's been set back 2 million votes in the vote of November 6th. The whole party is discouraged. Goebbels is grim in his diary, but not Hitler. Hitler is always looking to make the best out of anything. He's never discouraged. He's driven. On the 14th, more than a week later, Hitler gets a call from von Papen, the previous chancellor, who is a man that Hitler has mocked repeatedly as a man who only knows about monocles. He calls him the cabinet of fun, 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 the Baron's cabinet. All Germany calls him the cabinet. He's a man, as Tim has reminded us, who Schleicher, his master, said the reason he has a head or brains is to put a top hat on it, not to use them to think. But Papen calls Hitler. So, Tim, your wonderful story now gets extremely like a drawing room melodrama. Why does Papen call Hitler after the election?
I guess in German politics, maybe in all politics, everybody smells blood. What happens is, as you mentioned, John, Hitler disparaged Papen. Papen disparaged Hitler. The two men despised each other, disdained each other. But after the election, Papen calls Hitler because he knows the Nazis have lost 2 million votes. And he thinks maybe Hitler has softened up. Papen himself remains to this day the most unpopular chancellor in German history. Papen is head of government. Hindenburg is president. And Hindenburg is basically saying to Papen, I want a coalition government. I want a functioning Reichstag. Get this thing in order. Well, the only way Papen can make this happen is by, even though Hitler is weakened, he's no longer 37%, they're down to 32-34%, still the largest political faction in the Reichstag. Papen needs Hitler. So he writes, he's in touch with Hitler. He sends this letter basically saying, let's make up, let's leave this under, it's water under the bridge. Let's start working together. And Hitler writes this amazing letter back to Papen saying, I have been called so many names. I've been insulted and humiliated so many times that I never take these things personally. But he said, what I cannot bear is to watch you as chancellor squandering all the potential, the goodwill of the German people, the faith they have put in the government, and everything that you're ruining. And he said, I will not, basically, I'll have nothing to do with you. Hitler smells blood. He knows Papen is in trouble because Papen is accountable to Hindenburg. And Hitler is not going to let Papen succeed.
On the 19th, Hindenburg sends for Hitler. And they meet again the second time. And this is a very difficult scene to discern because It ends with a smile on Hindenburg's face. Why? What in that meeting does Hindenburg want? What does Hitler want? And how does Hindenburg apparently win the moment?
Well, once again, it's Hindenburg calling this man in to see what might be possible and what not. And it actually begins in a fairly positive thing. You know, Hindenburg wants this unter vier Augen, meaning just between the two of them. And the two of them apparently swap war stories. They have this exchange. It seems very congenial until it comes once again back to what is good for Germany versus what is good for Hitler. And, you know, will Hitler put aside what is best for him personally for the sake of the country at large? And as always, it goes absolutely nowhere. The expectations had been very high in July, and the thing went bust. Once again, this one is another one where it just goes bust. And there was a fellow journalist like you, John, had been there observing, and it was an American, I think, maybe it was with CBS. In any event, he says, you know, it's fun here, you know, watching old Hindi lure Hitler into his trap and knocking him out again. And it just became almost this farcical thing with, you know, Hitler's never going to make it. And this is basically when it comes up, you know, Hitler as a man with a great future behind him. The guy just is not going to be able to function in a government. And it's, you know, the game is up, basically.
In the days before polling, I learned from Tim, they used local elections or state elections to judge how parties were doing nationally. And there's an election December 4th in Thuringia, which is a state of Germany. And so Hitler and the NSDAP threw their resources it's in the Weimar part of Germany. They stay at the Hotel Elephant, and Hitler starts campaigning again for the vote on December 4th. Remember, Hitler doesn't have access to radio. He's banned from that because Hindenburg has the power to ban him. And at one point, Hitler is beckoned to Berlin to meet with, is it Schleicher they want to meet? Or yes, it's Schleicher that wants to meet with him. And he gets on the night train, and this is the famous underwear scene. It's all of a sudden we move into something that Charlie Chaplin, if he'd had this, he would have staged it in The Great Dictator. Hitler's on the night train asleep, and it stops in Jena on the way to Berlin, and there's pounding on his door. Tim, take over the scene.
Okay, well, you know, there's a tension in the Nazi party. Strasser wants Hitler to enter into a coalition government. The hardliners, Joseph Goebbels and Röhm, Göring, want Hitler to continue to stonewall on this to create a crisis. Hitler is actually in Munich. He takes the overnight train. He's supposed to meet Schleicher in Berlin that morning at 5 o'clock in the morning or so outside when the train stops in Jena. There's a knock on his door, and Göring is standing there and says, "Get out." And Hitler we know Hitler exits the train and he goes into a meeting with Göring and Goebbels in Weimar, and the train continues sans Hitler, without Hitler, up to Berlin, where Strasser was waiting for him. This was known as the Hitler's underwear scene, because the way it was depicted in cartoons is, you know, Hitler was, you know, pulled out of his cabin in the morning, still in his nightshirt with his bare legs with, you know, his, you know, prickly hair sticking out. I mean, it's an absolutely absurd scene. Normally, you would want to quash something like that, but it's one of these things where Hitler doubling down, the Nazi press actually picked up on this and denied all of this repeatedly, which only amplified this thing. But it was really this it illustrated, I think, in the most graphic way possible, the tensions, in the most humorous way possible, the tensions within the party, but also Hitler's waffling. I mean, here's this allegedly, man of authority, but suddenly being pulled between these various factions of his own party.
Strasser's once coalition and conciliation. Goebbels wants power, only power, and that's the end of democracy. The book is Takeover, Hitler's Final Rise to Power. Timothy Ryback is the author. When we come back, another defeat. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.